What's up, everybody, and welcome back to Laying the Points with Farley Betts. It's another week of sports betting all day, every day, in our two times a week sports betting podcast where we talk all things sports betting, NHL, NFL, MLB, NBA, UFC, tennis, soccer, you name it. We talk all things sports betting and handicapping here in the show. And as always, it's great to be with all of you. My name is Chris R. Farley, veteran, somebody who was trying to chase his dream for a long time in various things and finally landed and found out that his passion lies in something that he was researching and obsessed with every single day, and that's sports betting. And a few years ago, I put myself out there, and we've done pretty well since. Won fifth place in the number one sports betting contest in the world, the Circa Sports, Circa NFL contest that happens every year. Fifth place, 114K cash prize in that, 57% career percentage, win percentage in the NBA, I should say. And as sports better and analyst on the BetUS NBA and NFL shows, I've contributed at VSiN, at Vegas Insider, and many others. And it's great to be with all of you here on Laying the Points with Farley Betts. Real quick, let me get to my sponsors. You can get 125% promo code at BetUS Sportsbook by going to BetUS, signing up, and putting in Farley125. That's F-A-R-L-E-Y-125. In the discount code or promo code section, and you'll get 125% in your first deposit bonus. BetUS is a great sports book. I said sports book. It's a great sports book, and it's a great place for you to place your bets during the NFL season. I found them very advantageous last year. Great lines for the underdog, especially, and it's always great to have multiple books to shop from. So go to BetUS, type in Farley125, and keep this podcast and these free picks and these free insights into sports betting to try to make you a sharper sports bettor, going and going every single week. Also visit FarleyBets.com for free picks and free information to become a better sports bettor. With that being said, we have Will Hill, a VSiN contributor and sports betting analyst on the podcast today. You can catch him at Not The Will Hill on Twitter. That's Not The with two E's, Will Hill on Twitter. And let's get to it, because we're talking NFL. We're talking NFL win totals. And it is great just to be talking about football. Let's get to it, ladies and gents. Welcome back to Laying the Points of Farley Betts, everybody. And we got William Hill, Not The Will Hill, back on Laying the Points. Well, I know I was on your podcast at one point. You were on mine. Great to have you back. Again, if you want to follow Will Hill, he's at Not The with two E's, Will Hill on Twitter, sports betting analyst and contributor there at VSiN. What's going on, my man? How's the spring treating you? What are you betting on these days?
A little bit of everything. Starting to see some college football lines pop up for week one. NFL, you know, with these books being legal now, you get all sorts of fun markets, fewest wins, division wins, you know, lines for every game. So it's exhausting with all these books and all these markets trying to find value, but a little bit of a transition now, NBA winding down, no game tonight, which is a little bit of a culture shock, which I'm not, I miss, but I'm not, you know, totally upset about some of those games, especially in the second round, first round, getting over at one in the morning, take a lot out of you. So yeah. It's a bit of a transition phase. I don't mind it though, because, you know, before we know it, it's the grind of football. August, be here before you know it.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of annoying too, because every one of those playoff games are at 8:30 at night, like even on Saturday and Sunday. I thought we were going to get like an afternoon special on, you know, Sunday. It's still at 8:30, there's NBA playoffs. And then we got to wait. Like if the next series is over between the Heat and Celtics, which we'll see, Celtics finally won one. You know, then we got to wait till June 1st. So another week for the actual NBA finals to catch up or to start over again. And let me tell you, those Nuggets are going to have a pretty good advantage now, no matter what, right? Because they're going to have a lot of extra rest. Do you have any quick intel, any quick thoughts on who you like to win those NBA finals? The Nuggets are rolling pretty hard right now.
The Nuggets are the favorite. They're the rightful favorite. I have a feeling once the finals start, and you made a good point, the NBA got a break last night, because if that conference finals ended and we had an 8-9 day layoff, man, there's a, you know, you and I do this every day. We do it for a living. There's a lot of fringe people who, you know what, out of sight, out of mind. If you get 9 days off, I'm going to forget about the Nuggets and the Heat.
Right? Yeah.
Nuggets are obviously the rightful favorite. I have a feeling when the finals start, They are going to be in Boston. I think Boston's going to make history here and come back. I thought that was the one they had to get last night. Obviously, they had to get it. They're facing elimination. But and I gave this out yesterday. I said Celtics 8-1 to win the series. Tatum 12-1 to win the Eastern Conference. Now I'm sort of wrestling with how to hedge it. Do I take Miami plus the points series? Do I just let it ride? Now it sort of opens up. We're old enough to remember Yankees Red Sox, where all it takes is one, and now you get five at home if you're the Celtics. You get the seven at home where you're favored. Not that being home and favored has meant a lot to the Celtics or in the series in general, but this can change quickly. This can change quickly if this is 3-2 headed back to Miami. Miami, which was the underdog, they were the Cinderella. No pressure on them against Milwaukee, just fast and loose. All of a sudden, that Cinderella, that underdog, that's out the window. You're going to be on the wrong side of history if you lose three in a row here. So if this can go to six for Miami, I think there's a lot of pressure on Boston. I got a feeling Boston comes out of this series.
Yeah, wow. That would be phenomenal. No team has ever done that, right? Down 0-3 in the playoffs. It's like 0-79 or something.
0-150, and only three teams have even forced a game seven. So usually when you get down 3-0, you're dead. But this is a little bit different. Teams that are down 3-0, and like I said, 150 times it's happened, there's a lot of mismatches where the team that's down 3-0 is just not as good. I think Boston, it was just a three-point variance. They shot 10 of 29. They shot 10 of 35, 11 of 42. And hell, they can have a bad night, and they're out. Obviously, that's part of it. But Miami was shooting above its averages. Boston was shooting way below its averages. And that's really the name of the game in the NBA. With all these three-point attempts, you know what? If you show me the three-point percentage for the game, I could probably tell you who's going to win the game and who's going to cover.
Yeah, and Boston, when they shoot over 40%, it's something like 34-2 or something like that. But the Heat have been shooting over 40% this entire series, I believe, until last night. I'm not sure what their stat was last night, but I know Boston
8 of 32 last night.
Yeah. You're right. I mean, it makes a huge difference, and the Heat have been fantastic in the way that they've been able to adjust, but still, the talent on the court that Boston has, they certainly have a shot. TD Garden is going to be on fire tomorrow night. I have a Heat in six ticket in my pocket plus 850. So I'm secretly hoping that Boston does win again. Maybe I hedge it and I bet on Miami winning tomorrow night so that, hoping that Miami at least wins one of those games and then I get plus money. But I'm in a pretty good spot, but I wouldn't be surprised either, man, if Boston did it. And then, hey, you talk about a way to save your job. All of a sudden, Joe Mazzulla, maybe he's an okay coach. Maybe he can, pull this off. All of a sudden, the Celtics band together. We'll see. I thought their series against the 76ers was going to band them together. They took that to game seven. But it's just the roller coaster with that team. I don't envy their fans. I'll put it that way. Are you betting any baseball in the spring yet?
Betting baseball, yeah, it's a daily grind, but it's nice to have it pretty soon. And the NHL's been all blowouts too in terms of these series. All the games have been close. Pretty soon we're gonna have just baseball here for a good amount of time. So definitely betting a little baseball. I saw there's a plus 465 on the Yankees to win the division, in one of the legal markets. I'm not sure if you're sponsored by anybody, if I'm allowed to say or whatever, but plus 465. They're only five games out of behind Tampa. Everyone sort of crowned Tampa that first couple weeks of the season, and rightfully so. I mean, they were basically winning every day for a month, but you look up, there's a whole lot of games left, 100-something games left. They're only five games out, so plus 465 to me is a good number on the Yankees here.
Yeah, I like that. We do have sponsors now, but that doesn't mean you can't mention other books and other prices. We're always doing what's best for our audience here on Laying the Points, and I like that. Yeah, Yankees long season, obviously. Yankees in a little bit of a slump, but I hope for New York's sake that the Mets and the Yankees find their rhythm again, because there's a lot of excitement, obviously, building up to the season. It's been a little bit of a disappointment so far. But Will Hill is here to talk NFL. We're here to talk NFL win totals and futures. And I know you've got quite a few teams to talk about. Let's keep it in New York. I know that's, you always have a sharp eye on your New York teams, Will. So let's talk about my New York Giants. I think you're going under with this one. Now, I'm seeing around 8. There's some books like, DraftKings has a 7.5 option for the Giants. But you're taking the under on this. Talk about the number you got and why you like the under.
Yeah, look, I'm somebody that had a Daboll Coach of the Year ticket last year. And I was, man, if you look back, it was 20-1 with like 2 or 3 weeks left in the season. And that was one where, you bet it and you kind of just wish you bet more. That was a great ticket. I was so happy for them. When you have a ticket like that, you become a little bit attached to the team, the coach. But, man, watching that team, following that team, and I'm sure you'll probably agree with this, a lot of it was coaching. A lot of it was kind of smoke and mirrors where, week one, Tennessee misses a field goal the last second. Carolina, they win a coin flip game the next week, where all of a sudden they're 2-0 and they start to believe, or they could easily, you know, been 0-2 and things go in a different direction. I just thought the ball bounced their way. I thought they got a lot out of very little talent, and they had a soft schedule. You know, they got to play the Colts and the Texans, and they dominated the AFC South. I just don't know that it's replicable. You're going to have 9 road games here as the NFC team, as the unbalanced schedule here. The NFC plays 9 road games, and one of the Giants' home games is against the Jets, so that's really a neutral game. So you really only have 7 home games, 1 yeah. neutral, 9 on the road. And to me, the talent's just not there. I mean, you get 2 games against Philly, 2 games against Dallas. It's asking a lot to me. It really is to expect them to duplicate that, get to 9 wins. Dable's a hell of a coach, but look, I mean, Jones is hot and cold. He obviously, you know, earned that money this offseason. Maybe he gave him a little too much money. Barkley, who knows? But remember, Jones until last year's had a hard time staying on the field too, whether it's neck, you know, misses 3 or 4 games here or there. And that's one thing that I think it's important to keep in mind when you bet these totals. A lot of people look at it and they'll just say, hey, let me look at this team. And you don't take into the fact a lot of these guys are going to get hurt. So you look at these teams at 100% full strength, not taking into account, you know what? You're probably better off playing a lot of unders because the quarterback's probably going to get banged up. This guy's going to get banged up. Are the Giants, do they have that talent level to withstand injuries? I'm not sure about it. And I think Dable and Shane, the GM, really took over a rebuild rebuilding project. A lot of whiff drafts where they just, again, they got, you know, blood out of a stone last year. And I think it's going to take some time to rebuild the talent base here. I wonder if in a few years you're going to look back and say, man, maybe that having a good year with Jones wasn't the best thing, because then we had to pay him. Then we didn't get a high pick. So not to call last year's success fool's gold, but I did think they way overachieved. So I think under is probably a good bet here. I'm curious what you think, because you follow this team closer than I do.
Yeah, no, I would definitely lean to the under. I haven't actually executed the bet yet because I do want to see, you know, how the Giants look with their new parts. I like the way that they drafted. I like Deontay Banks. You know, that's a cornerback that can start right away for them. Great speed. I like that they got that center in the second round. A dependable guy from Minnesota, has like that wrestling background, good leverage, and we know how good a center that can have some staying power in the NFL can be, right? The Creed Humphreys, the Jason Kelseys of the league. You know, that sort of, you know, they sort of orchestrate the whole offensive line. I think there's tremendous upside there for him. You know, they tried to put some more depth in their defense, but defense is going to be a huge question mark this season, right? Because even though they did play over their head, and I think they could have a top 5 defensive line eventually, you know, with the talent that they're starting to stack up there. And now Kayvon Thibodeau is over there as well. But a lot of, you know, we'll see with the secondary, with the linebacking crew. And you spoke about it, right? Their schedule is going to be significantly harder. We're talking AFC West. We're talking AFC East, I believe. We're talking NFC West. Just a lot of tough, you know, they got San Francisco on there. And obviously they're in a tough division as it is. I don't think Philly's going anywhere. And I think Dallas is a regular season team, you know, and the Giants face them early. And Dallas usually trips later in the season. So I think the schedule stacks up against the Giants. They, unlike last year where they, you know, they, the first half of their schedule was very winnable and they overachieved, first half of their schedule this season is brutal. So if the Giants are going to get to 8 or anywhere near 8, they're going to probably take care of that in the second half of their season. And then there's obviously the, you know, Daniel Jones. He's got Darren Waller now. I like that kid from Tennessee that they got. You know, they have like 20 wide receivers on their roster. And they're, you know, they're trying to fortify the offensive line. But I'm interested to see how Daniel Jones looks now that he has a contract, because he's one of these players who I don't think he's going to, like, you know, start to mail it in now that he got his money. You know, he did the right thing on a contract year. I mean, he did earn it, played his best season, you know, put his body on the line if nothing else with the way that he can run and really, you know, put forth full effort all season for his team. So I like the direction of the New York Giants, but I would have to still go with you and lean under that 8, man. I mean, only so many teams in the NFC East are going to be able to get in, and you still have to favor Philly and Dallas to probably get ahead of New York. So I'm on the same side, just not something that I bet yet. Maybe because of my bias, probably so.
And again, there's no rush. I mean, for people that are betting with, obviously you can bet on credit, but people tying up their money in middle of May, it's not even Memorial Day yet, for a bet that even if it wins, you don't get paid till what, second week of January. Right. So there's the money management aspect of it is certainly something you have to consider.
Yeah, well, I was going to ask you that, right? Because I know a lot of pro bettors, like the pros, right, that, you know, have done this for 40 years or so, they talk about that, you know, as soon as those lines open, right, as soon as the schedules come out, they're betting week one right away. And I know that that's a great method, obviously, because the lines kind of get corrected, right? They're not very crisp at first. They come in, the lines quickly get sharper, you know, and they're kind of settled in now. They probably won't move too much until the regular season. But are you somebody who, like, for example, on DraftKings, right? They got every week, every game.
Crazy.
Yeah. Are you somebody who's taking a shot and betting those now and waiting all season for that to come to fruition?
Yes. I did jump on some of them. Again, I mean, a lot of them have moved. If you looked at them, I don't know how closely you studied them. Did you study them at all? Did you look at them?
I started looking at the first few weeks. I haven't gone deeper into the season yet. Yeah, NBA.
Did you do it right away? Did you do it right away?
What's that?
Did you do it right away, right when they came out, or you waited a little bit?
I didn't do it right away. I lost the best numbers. Yeah,
exactly. Because if you're a sharp NFL mind like you are, you know, if you're you've got a good instinct for it, you can look at them and you can pick off some mistakes, because these books are not perfect. There's a myth that these books are perfect. You know what these books do? They put out feelers and they let you bet it, and they take small limits, but what they do with the small limits is they're letting us as bettors adjust their lines for them. Like, I think it was Broncos Raiders was like a pick 'em week one in Denver. Well, Denver always plays well at home, especially early in the season. That might line moved. It moved quickly to 3.5. So you can pick off some mistakes. I think the books put these out really just to let us, you know, massage them. So I would suggest next year, you just, you know what, sort away an hour or two where you can study them and just go through week by week. You'll find some ones that, all right, this looks a little off, that looks a little off. Jets were getting 3, you know, at home against Buffalo week one. Probably shouldn't be getting 3. That's down to 1. So you can find some, you know, not huge mistakes, not off by like a touchdown, but ones that you figure, you know what, that's probably a few points off here or there.
Yeah. And not to, you know, be too tangential with these points, but I know for, you know, most people who are listening to this show, recreational bettors, it is tough. It's tough to wait all year or like weeks into the season for that bet to hit. And that's also assuming, right, that you just have this liquid cash floating around in your bankroll to make those investments later in the year that you don't have to play with now, right? So that is what the pros do. It's something that I've accepted that I don't really get a hold of like most pros do as far as the NFL goes, because I'm so into the NBA still at that point.
Right.
That I kind of give myself some mercy. But again, if you're going to do this the professional way, the way that professional bettors do it just for our audience, you want to look at those first week lines as soon as those schedules come out. If you already have power ratings, or if you already have an idea of these teams that you trust, and you can really find a great edge.
And it's not for everybody. If somebody's listening that bets $100 a week for, or $100 a game for entertainment, you know what? It's not worth tying up your money to get an extra half a point or a point in September. You know what? You're just doing this for fun and you want to win. But like I said, it's not for everybody.
100%. Let's talk about these Bears. They're around 7.5. What I'm seeing at the smart books, which is about, you know, if you want to play in their under, that's either even or slightly plus money. You know, folks so far right now liking the Bears to go over a little bit here. And there's a lot up in the air, though, about this NFC North. What are you thinking about Chicago?
Again, give me the under. And if you're going to bet anything on these just blindly, I think the unders are the way to go. Again, the possibility of injuries. They don't factor in a possibility of a tie, which usually you get like one or two ties a year. That's kind of factored into not being in the equation here. And I just don't trust Fields' ability as a passer. I know, you know what, there's a divide where people can make excuses and say, hey, he didn't have a good line, he didn't have good receivers. There's obviously some truth to that. He was not given a lot of talent around him. They don't, you know, they're not a good defense. But to me, I don't trust his ability to throw the ball downfield, and I really don't trust his ability to stay healthy. To me, he just takes too many hits. If you look, he's taken 91 sacks in 2 years. He had 190 rushing attempts last year. I mean, you're over 200 hits a year. If that's my franchise quarterback, I don't want that guy getting hit 200 plus times. It's just, that's a recipe for disaster. He's not the biggest guy in the world. So, you know, they won 3 games last year. Asking them to jump from 3 to 8, man, that's a hell of a jump. I'm going to go under here. I understand the enthusiasm for him. There's definitely some boomer bust potential. Like, if Fields is the guy, if he's really great and they go on and they, you know, win 10 games, win the division, like, would I be shocked? No. I mean, watching him play in college, obviously there is some talent there. But, man, he just gets hit a lot. I think he's not really developed as a passer. I think getting to 8 is asking a lot. I'll go under 7.5 here on the Bears.
I like this one a lot. And I'm gonna play devil's advocate with some of these. But you know, as far as this one goes, I agree with you, man. You know, the perception about these Bears is obviously high. They've had money to spend, and they did spend some in a good way. You know, they're trying to solidify their offensive line a little bit more, which is good. Now they have DJ Moore. But I really think that this NFC North is going to be a battle. You know, the Lions are slight favorites, but Green Bay still has a loaded roster. I mean, if Jordan Love is an average quarterback, that, you know, they can win half their games this season, especially in the NFC North, especially when you have a perpetual letdown team like the Vikings. And we'll get to them in a second. Will Hill sporting his full Vikings outfit today. You guys can't see him off camera, but he does. He's repping the Vikings in the show.
I got the horns and everything.
Yeah, you got the horns on. You got the nose ring too, I think, there. Yeah, maybe our audience can check that out next time. But, you know, Lions probably better, right? Vikings always in there. Packers always in there. Packers, even week one, being underdogs is kind of crazy, right? I know it's in Chicago, but that's kind of crazy seeing as the Packers as an underdog in week one. So I think those teams are going to beat up on each other, Will. And to assume that, you know, the Bears are going to ascend that much where they're getting close to 500, I think it's a big assumption. I think you're on the right side of that one. But I'm really fascinated to see how that division is going to shake out.
Yeah, again, increasing by 5 wins is asking a whole lot. PJ Walker's the backup quarterback. I mean, it's an okay backup, but man, you got a little quarterback taking a whole bunch of hits. That's not a good recipe in my eyes.
Yeah, now let's talk about two teams who you think things are probably going to be pretty ugly this year, right? Let's talk about the Texans and Rams, both at 6.5. Both of those unders are juiced right now. Hopefully you got a better number than what they're at right now. But Rams and Texans, Will, what are you not liking about their season prospects?
I mean, speaking of bad numbers, they hung a 7.5 on the Rams to me. I mean, it's down to 6.5. I would still play the under 6.5. I think it's a good bet. They won their Super Bowl. This is an older team. You know, they trade off Ramsey. This is a team that hasn't had a draft pick. They haven't had a first round pick since Goff. They went all in. They won their title. And now I think it's the rebuild. Stafford missed a ton of time last year. They're just not able to withstand any sort of injuries. There's no depth on this roster. And sort of the elephant in the room is the quarterbacks in the draft. Caleb Williams, Drake May. They finally have their pick next year. If things go sideways for them, maybe they shut it down. And just look at their schedule. They start at Seattle. Then they play at Cincy. They play Philly. This is San Francisco, all in the first 5 weeks. And then they play at the Colts. If they don't win the Colts, I mean, they're very possibly looking at like 1-4, maybe 0-5. And once you get off to that kind of bad start, I think they could shut it down. McVay obviously has job security. Maybe they look at it big picture. Teams don't usually tank in the NFL, but to me, getting to 7 wins with that team is tough. Same thing with the Texans. I mean, this is a team that won 3 games last year. Now we're going to ask them to go to 7 with a rookie quarterback. I think if you just blindly fade these rookie quarterbacks, just in general, their season win totals tend to go under. There's a lot of holes on that team for Houston. The defense, you're going to give Stroud a situation where he's used to guys being wide open, whether it's Garrett Wilson, Olave, Smith and Jigba, Marvin Harrison Jr. Now it's like, you know what? These windows are tighter and tighter. We've seen how Fields, you know, goes from one extreme to the other. To me, this is just a tough. I know it's an easy division, and you know, you get games against the Colts and against the Titans. Maybe those are winnable, but again, just saying it out loud, the Texans are going to go 7-10, 8-9. That doesn't sound right to me. So Texans under, Rams under.
Yeah, it really doesn't sound right. I mean, I like D'Amico Ryans as their new coach. I think he's going to probably be a pretty good coach. You know, seems like a motivator and a player's guy, as well as a good schemer, obviously, on defense. And they do have a young, talented defense there. For the Texans, that's only going to improve. I think, you know, Will Anderson Jr. is the real deal. But I'm not a C.J. Stroud guy personally. And me to either. Your point, you know, we don't have the records right here in front of us. But, yeah, you take team totals under for rookie quarterbacks, you're going to hit those more often than not. So I like your play there. And as far as the Rams go, I feel the same way about the Rams as I do about the Giants, in the sense that if you for some reason like these teams going over, you at least have to wait. You know, a lot of these books do offer win totals live during the season. They're not going to do too hot to start off their seasons, in my opinion. Yep. So wait, you know, maybe you get a 4.5, a 5, you know, something like that eventually, and then you can jump on that. But even at 6.5, and I agree with you, that 7.5 was wild that came out at first about the Rams. I agree with you. I lean to the unders in this one. I mean, part of me thinks that the pedigree that they still have on that team, a sharp Super Bowl winning coach and Sean McVay. You know, Matthew Stafford, Aaron Donald is still there. I mean, you know, hopefully I think that they can be a good ATS companion in some spots that where they're like heavy underdogs eventually, but win totals is not something that I can bet on going over for the Rams right now anyway. So lean in your direction for all those. Now let's go one that I'm going in the opposite direction of you on this one. And let's talk about the talk of New York. It ain't the Giants. It's Aaron Rodgers in New York with the New York Jets. That's at 9.5, and the over is mega juiced right now. Tell me why you like the Jets. You like them going over, right?
I do like the over, and I don't play a lot of overs. I just think, like we mentioned earlier with the Giants schedule, where that game that counts as a home game for the Giants, a road game for the Jets, is in New York. So Jets have 9 home games being in the AFC. They have 8 road games. Well, they really only have 7 road games. So right off the bat, that's an advantage. And I just think, look, this team was, 7-3 last year? They had bottom 3 quarterback play in the league. I think I saw the stat 6-2 when they scored more than one offensive touchdown. Basically saying this team was good everywhere except quarterback. So to me, you're going to put in Rodgers. I know he won 2 out of the last 3 MVPs. He wasn't great last year, but even 75% of peak Rodgers to me is enough to get this team to 10, 11 wins. They're good everywhere. They've had really good drafts. I think this team is legit.
Yeah. You know, listen, I want the Jets to do well. My mind is telling me to bet the under here. Just because of purely because of their schedule, you know, and now we're talking about expectations, right? Like Aaron Rodgers is there. We know how good this defense was last season. You know, first of all, their division is going to be as hard as any in the NFL. You know, you got to expect that New England is at least going to give them a run for their money when they play them. The Bills of Miami are no joke. And then we're talking about teams like at Dallas, Kansas City and Philly at home, but still it's Kansas City and Philly Super Bowl. The 2-2 to Super Bowl last season at the Giants. It's not really at the Giants, right? It's a home game for the Jets, but that's still going to be a tough game for them. They got the Chargers, of course. And then of course they have their division. So it's just, we're expecting this team to take quite a leap. And now they do have their quarterback. I like this team, but I took under on the Jets and the Dolphins. You know, hopefully I at least go 1-1 there, but in a division that's stacked, like something tells me that Bill Belichick and the Patriots are still going to find a way to get to like 7 wins or so. And then it's just going to be hard for those other 2 teams to get to 10. So a little bit of disagreement there for me. But as you heard in my explanation, I don't have a lot of like tangible on-field things that I dislike about the Jets. I mean, their defense is going to be as good as any in the NFL, in my opinion. I mean, when you put a defense in the situation that it was in last year, where it solely had to win games for their team, and they got to that mark and almost made the playoffs, that was extremely impressive. So this doesn't have to be like 2010 Aaron Rodgers. You know, this has to be, you know, just a decent Aaron Rodgers. So I get your reasoning behind it. That's for sure. I'm going to go with the under for now, but you know, just to take advantage of all the perception out there, but that they're going to be a really fascinating team to watch.
Yeah. And giving out all these unders, I got to be a little positive. I can't just be negative Nancy over here. So
that's right. Yeah. You got to go positive with one. Why not the New York Jets? How cool would it be to see the Jets like really back in, you know, actual contention? There's just something about,
I agree,
seeing the Jets in that spot because it's been so long. But,
If you like the Jets, we saw a New York coach last year win coach of the year with a team that's been bad. All of a sudden they're right. Good. Salah, like 20-1 be coach of the year. It's not a terrible bet.
No, that's not a terrible bet. You're very right about that. The one thing that I wonder, though, is I think they're starting to get smarter with Coach of the Year with that, as far as like, you know, it's really the teams that lack a lot of talent, you know, and they're still winning. That was certainly the Giants last year, so I'm really glad that they've all won it from that perspective. You got 2 division bets that you like, too, both for plus money. I love your bet on the Bengals, and I could talk about them to win their division. Obviously, it's short plus money. But I think that's going to inflate as the season goes on. I like the Bengals to win the Super Bowl this year, Will. I think they're very positioned. I think they're very deep. I love the culture that they have. And I was so impressed by them last season with a new target on their back after being in the Super Bowl. And they were still a team that was unintimidated, right? They beat teams like the Chiefs in the regular season, beat the Bills. I mean, this is a real contender in the AFC and in the NFL. And if any team's going to overcome the Chiefs, I think it's the Bengals. So I like your bet on the Bengals division. Let's talk a little bit about the Vikings at plus 310. I say that's great value there. for the Vikings, for a team that has been good, for a team that still probably has the best quarterback in their division. Let's talk about Minnesota.
I just look, we mentioned the Bears. I don't think with Fields, you know, running all that much, for them to get to the 9-10 wins you're going to need to win the division is going to be hard. I'm a Rodgers fan. I don't think Love can replace him, and they can get to the 9 or 10 wins. So it's a toss up between Detroit, Minnesota. They're actually similar teams, really good on offense, shaky on defense. Obviously, people are going to say, oh, Minnesota was overrated. There's regression. Obviously, but that's being built into the number. And I think overly built into the number. They still won 13 games. Okay, they should have won 9 or 10. To me, they're still right there with Detroit. It's a coin flip. So I'll just take the fat number here. You can get them over 3-1. It'll come down to those two teams, and it's a weird scheduling quirk. They actually played two out of the last three seasons, so very good chance it's decided head-to-head. If you're sitting there with plus 300, plus 330, whatever it is, you can and chop around, because there's a lot of disparity in these numbers. You can hedge back and, you know, lock in a profit, take the points, whatever it is. But to me, it's a two-team race. I think this number is just a little off. And Flores with the defense, I think they're going to be good on offense. They draft Addison to go with Jefferson. It's a loaded offense. The problem is the defense. You bring in Flores, that's probably the best defensive coordinator, one of the two or three best defensive coordinators in the league. Maybe he can only do so much with the lack of talent, but to me, that'll go in the right direction. They played a very simple, very basic defense last year. They couldn't have fired that guy fast enough, the defensive coordinator. So to me, this is just an off number.
Yeah, I like this one a lot. I might steal it from you, actually, because I like that you mentioned Flores. You know, they just need somebody that they can believe in, you know, to have confidence, because they have some good guys on that defense still. But, you know, and I like that they're trying to add some more depth over there. But you can make an argument, man, that Kirk Cousins has never had a really formidable defense that he can play behind. You know, kind of even with the Commanders back then, the Redskins, you know, they were pretty good defenses, but not, you know, defenses that he can count on game to game and he could ride to the playoffs.
Because he takes all the money in the contract negotiations. He doesn't leave himself a defense. You're right, though.
Exactly. Right. Yeah, right. So, like, if he can just be Kirk Cousins that we all know, which is, like, you know, kind of the talent meter of the NFL, you know, are you better than Cousins? Are you worse than Cousins? But he's a pretty damn good quarterback. He can get them to the promised land. And I got to say, they impressed me a lot. He impressed me a lot last season in those big game moments, because I know they won all those one-score games. It was historic. So people could easily be like, that's fake news. You do have to have a high degree of chemistry and belief in each other on offense to make those plays happen that they did at the end of a lot of those games as well. So it's not all phony, you know, and they have the experience now of getting through a really tough season with all that. Seems like a lot of the other teams in the NFC North are kind of in flux. The Vikings, right, not so much. You know, they're just kind of bringing some more adults in the room to give more of a foundation, especially for defense. So I like that one a lot, man. Okay, we have a few more minutes here. I like to keep it around 30 minutes. So let me just ask you about this one team, because I'm curious to get your thoughts. I like the Saints going over 9 wins this year. And one of the biggest reasons, you know, obviously we can talk Derek Carr, talk about a new adult at quarterback too, since Drew Brees. I think he fits the culture really well there. You know, they're in the Bayou, very Christian guy. You know, good quick thrower, good accuracy. I think he's going to fit that offensive scheme. Kamara is going to be healthier and probably more positive heading into the season after all the BS last year. Michael Thomas, we'll see, but he was one of the top receivers in the NFL when he was healthy. Maybe he'll be back as well. But, you know, their defense is young, and they showed out a lot of top 10 ratings last year in pass defense. Now they took that guy in the first round, defensive end from Clemson, who I think can be really special. And this division is going to – I mean, Tampa Bay, forget about it. You got a rookie quarterback in Carolina. I think they'll be feisty, but I don't believe in them. And then the Falcons are a little spooky as well. But, you know, the Saints, I just feel like they're kind of being slept on a little bit. I took the man to win the NFC at plus 1,300 because of how tough those schedules are going to be for Philly and Dallas and San Francisco. And certainly their division helps. Like I said, trying to look at my notes here and see if I missed anything, but I don't see any spots this season where they're going to be a significant underdog, and they're going to be favorites in most of those games. One of the easiest schedules in the NFL. So I'm taking Saints over 9. What do you think of that one, Will?
My initial thought was you're out of your mind. That why would you bet this team to win 10 games? And then I looked at the schedule, and I don't know that I've ever seen a softer schedule. Like you said, the NFC South, they get to play the AFC South, so they get the Texans, the Colts. I could not bet under with this schedule. I mean, this is such an easy schedule. Again, this isn't a great team, so expecting it. Usually when you're betting under on the double-digit win teams, there's just so much that can go wrong, like with injuries and stuff, that I like to bet under. But, man, the schedule's easy. The Falcons, you get twice. The Bucks, you get twice. You might be tanking. I mean, I could only look towards the over here. They get the Bears at home. They get the Colts. I mean, my goodness. They get Jacksonville at home on a Thursday night in a tough travel spot. I think Jacksonville is coming off two London games, so that's a pretty tough spot. I can't disagree with it. I might jump on with you here. I didn't like it at first, but looking at the schedule, you can't bet under there.
It feels like a lot, right? But and you know, to be clear, that's why it's all about the number. If it was 9.5, I don't take this bet, right? But I like it at 9. I think the worst thing I do is I push. But you know, I really think Derek Carr is going to be really good, and that's another quarterback who could say he's never had a good defense behind him. He might actually have one in the Saints, and now he doesn't have to carry his team completely on his shoulders. I think it just could be a good match.
Right. If you want to win a championship, do you want Carr? Do you want Cousins? No. If you want to be a decent team, do you want Carr? Cousins? Yeah, they could be a decent team. They could, sure, give you plenty 9-10 win seasons. Absolutely. So, yeah, absolutely. I'm with you. I think it's a good point.
Especially in that division, right?
Yes.
Well, I like to keep these around 30 minutes. So appreciate your time today and a lot of sharp information about these NFL win totals. I know you're still a contributor at VSiN. You're always churning out content over there. Again, ladies and gentlemen, at not the Will Hill. That's two E's and the. Where are some other places we can catch you, my man?
Yep. Like you mentioned, VSiN about 3 or 4 times a week. So look for that. And then Gold Boys Discord. You can go to goldboys.com. We have Twitch shows Monday through Thursday, 1 o'clock Eastern. So check out Gold Boys. I tweet out the link. So it was fun catching up, man. It you know, as you get older, I remember when you're a kid, it goes from Memorial Day and it takes forever to get to Labor Day. Now, man, it's just before you know, Memorial Day, 4th of July, Labor Day, and then it's football. So before you know it, we'll be talking about these week 1, week 2 games. Before you know it, it's going to be week 8 of the NFL season, man. Things just as you get older, things just go by so fast. So appreciate you having me on. It was fun to catch up.
Always, man. Let's catch up again before the season starts. Yes. And during the season as well. I would love that. And I hear you, man. Now with the kids and everything, this summer is going to blow right by. So we should enjoy it while we can. At Not The Will, ladies and gentlemen. Will Hill, thanks so much for coming on, man.
You got it, man.